It is now 14 minutes before 9 Central African time. A beautiful story. I wouldn't be able to verify the story completely. I guess nobody would. But it appeared on the Good Things Guy website, which said that many Joburgers would have noticed the very unkempt state of our roadside verges and islands. So it was a delight to witness a stretch of sunflowers that had been scattered along the R24 towards the O.R. Tambo International Airport. And I would say it's not only along that stretch. There's many stretches, even the M1, M2, where you'd find a lot more sunflowers this year than probably we've seen in previous years. But according to this report, this may have been the result of something called guerrilla gardening, where somebody literally took some seeds in their hands, and as they drove past or as they stopped on the side of the highway, threw these seeds, and as a result of that, many people are enjoying these beautiful sights, perhaps bringing some great joy to them amidst heavy traffic or amidst a difficult day on the road. And this piqued my interest into what exactly is guerrilla gardening, and we have somebody online with us who is a guerrilla gardener herself. Her name is Lindsay Lewis, and previously she actually goes by a name called Liliana Transplanter, which, you know, just adds to the mystique and the mystery around what guerrilla gardening actually is. What is its purpose? Lindsay, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and hope you are well.
Hi, that's great. Thank you for having me.
I understand you're joining us from Swaziland this evening. I hope the line is clear. Just to tell us a bit about yourself, your background. I understand, even from an academic point of view, you've gone into studies related to agriculture.
So just first, in case, because I don't know if you can hear me very well, because there's this big sort of cyclone that's passing through this area. So I hope that the line does keep. I have a background in ecology and environmental science, and of course, aspects to do with agriculture, sustainable forestry. So kind of looking at some of our current environmental issues that I think many people have become more aware of, especially with COVID-19, issues around climate change, biodiversity loss, and all of those things, and kind of looking at, well, what are the ways to really address some of these issues? And in a bit of a previous life, I would do a lot of work, what you call guerrilla gardening, which for us was kind of, we call this eco-art activism. So it was really taking to the streets and engaging with people on the streets to kind of not only beautify but also repurpose our kind of, you know, especially in Johannesburg, as you would have seen, as you said, there's, you know, a lot of spaces that are just almost just deserted. We call them these forgotten spaces that we kind of would bring life to and find a way to have dialogue with people who would be passing around food, around traditional medicines, around indigenous foods, indigenous medicines, and kind of how do we look at our space, how we use space, and especially in the city where there's just actually a lot more space than you would have thought that could be used for so many things, you know, just to liven up the space, make it a nice space, because a lot of the places often, you know, there's a lot of waste that is left in areas, and of course doesn't deal necessarily with the issues, the systemic sort of issues and issues around spatial and historical kind of inequalities. But the idea behind it was about really saying, you know, all this stuff has a lot of value. There's a lot of meaning in all of this knowledge. And how do we kind of reintegrate it into our cities? Also enhancing the sustainability of our cities, right? Because they don't work, actually.
And Lindsay, obviously there could be debates about the semantics and perhaps you might not necessarily prefer the usage of that term in all all contexts. Guerrilla gardening, sometimes it might bring with it, just to the listener, kind of negative connotation. But this idea of a guerrilla would mean that, you know, in a way you are resisting, in a way you're fighting against something, in a way sometimes you might perhaps also be breaking any rules. And a person listening to this might say, okay, what can be so lethal, what can be so controversial about throwing some seeds, you know, along the side of a highway or creating a space within the city? But what exactly would you be creating awareness of? What would you potentially be resisting against, and where would potential resistance come from?
Yeah, I think, you know, the term guerrilla gardening, it doesn't bother me, I must be honest. I mean, the thing is, why there's maybe some tension or controversy is really also with the origin of the term, which comes, and with that sort of movement, which was more in the North and in Europe and maybe in the US. And so the idea about, you know, also, of course, public space being and not having the legal kind of, like, not having permission to plant in those spaces. And, it's really also just comes from a very specific context. And I feel that when I would do such work in Joburg or across South Africa, it wasn't, people don't have an issue with you. Or not, I never experienced it. Of course, this might be different for different people, but to beautify the space, you know, I very seldom had anybody say anything negative about it. So I don't mind the term. I think it does have, you know, people love, in South Africa, my experience has been people love the term because it's like a sense of resistance, but in a positive way, right? So it's like, and you're enhancing the space. You're not detracting from the space. And of course, you could do it in a different way. And I think in other parts of the world where they, and I'm not also personally completely against this either, because there's reasons why people do this work where they maybe even dig up parts of the road or do things and plant to kind of, you know, make a statement. But I think, you know, even in Johannesburg, the roads are so bad. And let's say you planted something in some of these potholes in the road, it also kind of says, hey, like, there's an issue here that people are not addressing. And in South Africa, of course, it's also an equity issue. There's a lot of other these kind of more these more hidden issues that kind of need to be brought to light. And I think so even taking the same tactics, I would say, that is used in other places has a very different political meaning in the South African context. Yeah, like, I think that there's a lot that you can say. And, of course, this is where it becomes both activism and also art as well, because it really depends on the person and maybe what, and the collective. I mean, I didn't operate on my own. And it was primarily, actually, to find a way to have a dialogue around some of these issues, actually, and issues like around food access to good quality food, you know, issues like food insecurity more broadly, and kind of looking at what grows in cities, and the kind of, again, it even takes you to issues around waste, like waste collection issues that happen also in the city, especially when you're in the, because of course, you know, so you'd have the city, and we mostly work in the inner city or in the township, so, and there's very different sort of issues around space. In the city, it's kind of no man's land, and people moving very fast, and like it's quite migrant and very dynamic. And so you're dealing with that kind of thing of how do you create a dialogue with this diversity that also exists there, and kind of cultivating quite literally through different plants to kind of say, you know, kind of what, whose space is this, and really asking those questions, especially with our history. And in the townships, there's actually often a lot more space, but there's a lot of other issues, like, for example, as I was saying, with ground waste, but also in terms of what kind of food is accessible, kind of looking at old issues around the kind of devaluing of certain kind of traditional knowledge, and just all the different, there's a lot of different things that you might choose to play with or work with or to bring to the dialogue. And I think it just was an incredible medium to have that dialogue and really questioning the current systems in place as well and how they don't support kind of like the well-being of people either. And I think these are just, it is really a medium to have lots of different conversations. And I do believe that a lot of people were like quite inspired by the possibility that you can also have agency in terms of how the space is used and how and what it means and what is happening in that space. And that was kind of like more the outcomes that really took place, the seeding of possibility and agency. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One is if there's an open, you know, the obviously the very strong need for land in South Africa, the debates about access to land in South Africa, and obviously when people would build structures, people would look for shelters on open pieces of land or vacant pieces of land, and the reaction that would come to that. But when it comes to planting in open spaces, is there or has there ever been instances where this puts people who are behind this up against the law?
I mean, not that I've had experiences personally, but I think, of course, that could be an issue. But I do know that there's so many examples, and I think the one example you were giving is a very beautiful example, in a sense, it's more like this is for everybody. But I know people who are taking over spaces that are like these dump sites and have made food gardens in their place, you know, and that is a form of guerrilla gardening, really. And it's taking an initiative to reuse that space. And I think more than getting resistance from perhaps the police or from that kind of space, it's really the difficulties around certain behaviors or kind of that have become institutional because of, other issues. For example, the fact that people use certain sites as dump sites and burn the waste in those areas, for example, is a major issue in a lot of places in urban areas. You know, like issues around land more broadly is a bit different than when you're talking about maybe around the cities it really depends also on the context and perhaps the relationships there. But I think the difficulty often is really getting people to understand where you're coming from and why this is even important, because you know, people have often moved from rural areas and now you're in the city and you think, okay, well, this food, for example, like indigenous food is for poor people and it's for people in the rural areas, or like farming and agriculture is for people in the rural areas and I'm town, you know. And I think so this kind of concept of what it means to also be, progressing in some way it says, well, these things are not important, and I think that's what, people are up against more than the law. Mm-hmm. But of course, there is a possibility with because it's not necessarily a legal activity. But I would, I personally have not had that experience where people were against it. It was more the issue around the sustainability of the space, as I'm saying. So, but. Yeah, I think you have to take that into account. There are processes and there are ways to work within your community to use a space and to have in terms of the legal side. But it hasn't been an issue in, mm-hmm. in my experience.
And from what I'm hearing from you, it's not something necessarily that people are discreet about, but there is this beauty about instances where it is discreet. You know, somebody just dropping seeds on the side, and one sees this blossoming. So, final question to you: there's various examples that have come up. We started off with the sunflower example. People planting things on the side of roads to purify. There's a more protest type of statement. Even here in South Africa, I saw people planting banana trees in potholes, as my producer pointed out earlier on. Also, a kind of statement there to say, we don't want to go down the route of banana republics with potholes. You spoke about, a more productive in terms of these food gardens, etc. Any other examples, beautiful examples of what would qualify as guerrilla gardening, perhaps, that have made a positive impact in whichever way?
Oh, Yeah, I mean, oh gosh, other examples. I mean, there's just so many varieties that you could do in terms of the space, right? Like there's about creating spaces like parks that people could be in just to have a safe space, a nice, decent space, you know, to be in that's clean and nice, you know. And I think if people do, there's like these things are one thing. I think it really depends on your space and it depends on what your outcome is. It's quite difficult. I don't know if I have specific other examples, but it's because it's like, well, what is public space? Also these questions and rooftop gardens. And so it's like, of course, I was saying fruit gardens. And I mean, like I've done more also a lot of art sort of gardens that were more maybe protest, but.
But perhaps what I'm looking for is, you know, you travel around South Africa, Johannesburg, whichever major center, Johannesburg, Durban, anything people can perhaps keep their eyes peeled for example, the product of such a movement.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't know what people are doing at the moment. I think there's a lot of interesting work going on at the moment, integrating art and food and space. But I can't give you a specific example, but I do encourage people to, you know, to make use of the public space, because that's also how we make spaces more functional, more multifunctional, and also safer for us to be in them, you know. And so I think that there is a need for us to use our space, and I think it's one way that we can engage with our public space in that way. And yeah, but I don't know if I can give you specific examples right now. I'm sorry.
not a problem at all. Any place you've explained the concept beautifully, the different purposes of it. People more interested in this concept. I'd imagine there would be a variety of resources available online. I understand there's even international days dedicated to this.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of beautiful books that are written, and the name is escapes me right now. But I think, I mean, with us, you can look up some of our work that we did before around... it's called Ambush. It's called Ambush Eco Art Collective, and also functioned under the name Pollination. And that was a specific South African example. And I think there are a few. There's a group in Cape Town who does a lot of this, something very similar to guerrilla gardening, though. But I'm sorry, it has been a little while for me to say what's happening now. And I'm sure there's a lot of activity going on. But I think if you do research globally, you'll see how it's been used in different parts of the world. And I guess it gives you a kind of insight into the type of politics also in different places. And maybe to just think about what that means for us in our country. Where do we want to go in that way? Yeah.
Indeed. Great speaking to you. Thank you so much for making the time, despite the circumstances. And we've pulled through. Do keep safe where you are. And all the best, Lindsay.
Thank you so much for the day.